Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener supported, hands on radio for Green and Columbia counties. I'm Antonia. I'm 14, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily. I'm also from Hudson, and I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library.
Yay! So, Emily and I, and usually sometimes Ingrid and Gina, sometimes Sophie, previously Quinn and Maddie, and just a whole mess of all different people. We're always here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. talking about books. Books we love, books we're currently reading.
And poetry.
Yay! And poetry books.
Yay!
Yay! All that good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I wasn't here the last 2 weeks.
I've missed you.
And I was really sad and I was so sorry and it was disgraceful and horrible. We were doing a film project. It was the last day of filming. I'm the lead actress, so yeah, because I'm fabulous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So today, since it's April, even though it's almost the end of April.
But we're just in time.
We're just in time, yeah.
Because Poetry Month is coming to a close.
It is. And
we want to do a poetry show.
We did. Because
we do.
we did want to do a poetry show, and now we are doing a poetry show. Yeah. It's going to be super cool. We're going to talk about poems, and we're going to read poems. And we probably won't talk that much about poems because I don't really have anything to say about poems except for that they're awesome.
Sometimes.
I started writing more poems, actually. I used to, like, never write poems. And I have friends who write lots of poems.
Mm-hmm. And you like to rhyme your poems, right?
Yeah, I like to rhyme my poems because every single time I try writing a poem, it's, like, going real great. And then I start rhyming and then I'm like, oh, damn, this wasn't supposed to rhyme. Gosh darn it.
Oops.
Oops. Yeah. But they always end up rhyming. So because I like rhyming my poems, I like poems that rhyme. Mm-hmm. What kind of poems do you like, Emily?
I tend to like shorter poems.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like even like one-line poems.
Like this
some
one
very
in
short
here.
Ones. There are some short ones in that book in your hands.
There's a really short poem in here.
I don't know how I would define poems I like. I think I actually prefer ones that don't rhyme.
Really?
Strangely enough.
Emily. Do you want to hear a one-line poem?
I do.
It's called A Petticoat. A light weight, a disgrace, an ink spot, a rosy charm.
What book's that from?
Tender Buttons Objects by Gertrude Stein.
It's quite the pronunciation. I really love this book. I don't actually particularly love the poetry of Gertrude Stein, but this book is really neat.
There's
like a selection of poems, and her poems are maybe to some people they are sensical, but to many readers they would appear nonsensical. And the artist had to decide how to visualize these poems or to make a image that connects with them, and the artwork is just really pretty.
Yeah, the artwork is by Lisa Congdon.
Yes, well done.
I found another one-line poem.
Oh yeah? What's this one?
It's about eyeglasses. A color in shaving. A saloon is well placed in the center of the alley. It means center, but it's spelled the Canadian way.
What was the picture like?
It was a picture of some glasses in a bottle. And I don't know how they got in the bottle. It was magic.
Magic.
Yeah. It was cool. Yeah.
Let's see if there's any other ones in here. Emily? This one, here's another example of one. There's no picture for this one, but it's called A Dog. A little monkey goes like a donkey. That means to say that more size last goes. Leave with it. A little monkey goes like a donkey.
I'm so confused.
Although the picture, so I assume the picture on this page goes with the poem called A White Hunter, which the entirety of that poem is, a white hunter is nearly crazy. And there's a picture of a white sort of falcon, and it's wearing a yellow hat, and there's red twine or ribbon or something that's kind of encircling the bird. Mm-hmm.
That's a funny book.
Here's another one. A sound. Elephant beaten with candy and little pops and chews, all bolts and reckless, reckless rats. This is this.
Huh.
It's hard to say. Reckless, reckless rats.
Reckless, reckless rats.
And there's a picture of an elephant with a decorative piece of fabric over it, and there's two rats on the elephant's back, and they're holding lollipops, and he's holding a lollipop, and there's candy and lollipops on the ground.
Candy? I like candy.
So when I said I like short poems, I didn't necessarily like mean those in particular, but yeah. I do like that book a lot. I think it's really fun to read.
It's a great
and explore.
Book. They're like little, they're like, I feel like you can appreciate them whether you're like a little kid imagining like little elephants running around or if you're like Emily. But then again, Emily can appreciate like everything. So that wasn't a good example.
Mm.
But yeah, we have other like kid poems, I guess.
Yeah.
This one's about dinosaurs.
So the ones that we're reading right now are from a book called A Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets.
Oh, yay. Are they like by young poets or are they like for young poets?
They're for young poets.
Oh.
And the book's edited by Bruno Novaski. And so he selected all these different poems that he thought would speak to a young audience. And they're all fairly short because they're designed to be able to be small enough that you would tear out a piece of paper from the book and carry it around in your pocket.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. This one's called Brontosaurus and it's by Kimiko Han. I keep writing about dinosaurs. They lumber across the planet, swim in the warm currents of the sea, and play all afternoon. They have to be home by 5. I miss them. Aw. He must be an old poet. Great.
I miss the Brontosaurus.
Yeah.
Isn't that the dinosaur that's not really a dinosaur?
I have no idea.
There's some dinosaur that was really popular at one point that isn't actually a real dinosaur.
Barney.
Like it's actually a different, or it has a different name. Oh. The dinosaur that was known as Brontosaurus is actually some other dinosaur.
Oh, I see.
It's sort of messing with my childhood, sort of like how Pluto is no longer a planet.
Oh.
The Brontosaurus is no longer a dinosaur, or at least is no longer called Brontosaurus.
I see.
So I miss him too. Oh. Or her.
It.
Them.
Them. Yeah. Well, this poem is, I'm dedicating it to my mom.
Aww, yeah.
Isn't that cute? Because it's by Emily Dickinson. I love Emily Dickinson. I can tell you a bunch of random facts about Emily Dickinson. Yeah. Anyway, this poem is one that my mom used to say all the time when I was little, and sometimes she still randomly quotes it, and I'm not sure why. It's called I'm Nobody, Who Are You? I'm Nobody, Who Are You? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'd banish us, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public, like a frog. To tell your name the livelong day to an admiring bog. That's probably one of Emily Dickinson's better known poems.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
I forget what the book trailer was, but I was watching a book trailer the other day, and for a brief second, they showed a page that had that poem on it, and I was like, I know that poem.
Yeah, I know. No, I was watching a book trailer the other day, too, and that happened.
Maybe it was the same book trailer.
Oh, my gosh. We were watching book trailers in English class.
Mm.
And, yeah, it was fun because it's the Hudson Children's Book Festival coming
Yay.
Up. Woo!
Yeah, that's this coming week.
It is.
Weekend.
So, weekend, yeah. So we're reading books of authors that are going to be there in class.
Cool.
It's going to be super fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, very excited.
And on Friday afternoon from 4 to 6, there's going to be authors and illustrators here in the studio. So if you're interested in hearing from them, you should tune in Friday
Absolutely.
Afternoon.
Well, you should during tune the afternoon in every show. Afternoon.
Yeah, you should. But,
but
every moment of the day.
Yeah. But specifically on Friday, if you want to hear about those people. And yeah. Anyway.
Can I read a poem?
No.
It's from the same book.
Oh, really?
Cool. It's called Eating Poetry.
Yum.
Mmm. Sounds tasty. Okay. Ink runs from the corner of my mouth. There is no happiness like mine. I have been eating poetry.
Huh.
The librarian does not believe what she sees. Her eyes are sad, and she walks with her hands in her dress. The poems are gone. The light is dim. The dogs are on the basement stairs and coming up. Their eyeballs roll, their blonde legs burn like brush. The poor librarian begins to stamp her feet and weep. She does not understand. When I get on my knees and lick her hand, she screams. I am a new man. I snarl at her and bark. I romp with joy in the bookish dark. And that's by Mark Strand.
Emily's a librarian.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine her in this poem as the one eating the poetry.
I don't really stamp my feet ever.
No, the other librarians are disappointed in stamp, Emily stamp, stamp. For eating all the poetry. It was secretly mm-hmm. you in that poem. Shh, don't tell anyone.
I don't think the librarian's eating the poetry.
No, the other librarians are being
She doesn't
angry.
Believe what she sees. She's like, yeah. What? And then she gets sad
yeah.
and angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You have some other ones from that book?
Yeah. This is a interesting poem. It reminds me of a poem that I wrote the other day about how I don't like writing poems. And then another one that I wrote about called This Is Not a Poem. So this poem is by A.R. Ammons, and it's called Substantial Planes. It doesn't matter to me if poems mean nothing. There's no floor to the universe, and yet one walks the floor. That was deep. That was, like, really deep. Yeah. Emily, it's your turn.
Oh, you want me to read one? Okay, yeah. I'll read this one by Edna St. Vincent Millay. It's Afternoon on a Hill. I will be the gladdest thing under the sun. I will touch 100 flowers and not pick one. I will look at cliffs and clouds with quiet eyes, watch the wind bow down the grass and the grass rise. And when lights begin to show up from the town, I will mark what must be mine and then start down.
Oh, I liked that poem.
I like her poems.
I liked that poem because it rhymed. It made me happy.
Yay.
Yay.
And not all of her poems are very happy, so I like that. That one feels happy.
It does. It reminds me of spring.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like spring.
Well, I have a poem by Rita Dove.
Mm.
It's called The First Book. Although this is kind of how I feel whenever I read any book. But this one's called The First Book. Open it. Go ahead. It won't bite. Well, maybe a little. More a nip-like. A tingle. It's pleasurable, really. You see, it keeps an on opening. You may fall in. Sure, it's hard to get started. Remember learning to use knife and fork? Dig in. You'll never reach bottom. It's not like it's the end of the world. Just the world as you think. You know it.
Ooh. I have another poem by Rita Dove.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's from a book called Mother Love, collection of her poems. And she, it says on the book, was the U.S. Poet Laureate from 1993 to 1995.
Wow.
It's well done. And this one's called Primer. In the sixth grade, I was chased home by the Gatling kids, three skinny sisters in rolled-down bobby socks. Hissing, Brainiac and Mrs. Stringbean, they trod my heel. I knew my body was no big deal, but never thought to retort, who's calling who skinny? Besides, I knew they'd beat me up. I survived their shoves across the schoolyard because my 5'0" mother drove up in her caddy to shake them down to size. Nothing could get me into that car. I took the long way home, swore I'd show them all I would grow up.
Aw, that's a good poem. Don't bully, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Emily. You need to go find your poem about plums. Because
We
found three poems about plums today.
Woohoo!
I was reading this one poem by William Carles Williams. That's a pretty good name, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I turned the page. I wanted to read the next poem. It was also about plums. I go, Emily, look, I found two poems about plums. This guy must really like plums. And she says, oh, I found a poem about plums, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have three poems about plums.
Yay, I love plums.
I love plums. They're so good.
One time I accidentally swallowed a pit.
Oh, no.
And I was scared that I was going to die.
Grow a plum tree in you, Emily.
But it turns out it's okay to swallow them if they're not too big that they choke you and if you haven't chewed them up.
Okay.
So you have to be careful with, like, children or dogs or something.
I see.
Eating plum pits because if they bite into it and then swallow it, could be bad for them. But
okay.
I survived.
Congratulations.
My plum pit swallowing.
Yay.
Hooray.
So right. This poem's called To a Poor Old Woman. It's by William Carles Williams. Munching on a plum. The street a paper bag of them in her hand. They taste good to her. they taste good. To her, they taste good to her. You can see it by the way she gives herself to the one half sucked out in her hand. Comforted, a solace of ripe plums seeming to fill the air. They taste good to her. So what do they taste to her, Emily?
Good to her.
Congratulations.
They taste good to her. I like that poem a lot.
It's great. So the other poem about plums by William Carlos Williams is called This Is Just to Say. Like, he must really like plums, right?
They are tasty.
It's like a note. I wish people would leave me notes like this when they needed to leave a note. I have eaten the plums that were in the icebox, and which you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me, they were delicious. So sweet and so cold.
Yay! There's a couple of books of poetry where people often use that poem as a prompt to write poems that are kind of apology letters. And there's a couple of collections of poems that do that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. It's a good poem.
Yeah, so the one I have is called Old Plum Tree, and it's by W.S. Merwin, who is a Pulitzer Prize winner, a National Book Award winner, and this is from his new book, The Moon Before Morning. And it goes, so it's Old Plum Tree. How long were you there before I remembered you as the birds did each year? When I saw you, you were already old. One of your limbs has gone. The twisted trunk is hollow, clasping the dark. Some year there were nests among the branches. You never grew tall in the thin rocky soil at the top of the shallow field. Common blue plum, what they called pig plum, after St. Anthony's pig, so they say. As they feed your delicious bounty to the pigs, what do you care? In late summer, we ate our fill of your ripe fruit, with the vine velvet still on it, in the July noon and through the days of August. And we have baked the plums into tarts and preserved them in jars for later, and picked up every last soft fallen fruit out of the grass in September to distill the clear spirit called water of life. Who am I to remember? Leaves you have forgotten the flutter of wings and bird voices there, and your rough bark in each season, and the fragrance of your dry branches burning. Now, one more time, your flowers have fallen like a fine snow, and among your new leaves, a few infant green plums the size of raindrops have appeared. Oh, silent ancient age of the daylight.
That was deep. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, plums. Yay.
Does that make you hungry?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a good transition into our adult poems.
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun. Yes, we separated them, but really anyone can read any poems that they want if your mommy says it's okay. Emily, you have to call your mom before you read all those poems.
Okay. She would love that if I called her every time I wanted to read a poem.
Oh, good. Yeah. This poem is by Edgar Allan Poe. I really like Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I was here, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think I read an Edgar Allan Poe poem.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's called To Miss Louise Olivia Hunter. Though I turn, I fly not. I cannot depart. I would try, but try not, to release my heart, and my hopes are dying, while on dreams relying, I am spelled by art. Thus the bright snake coiling neath the forest tree winds the bird beguiling to come down and see. Like that bird, the lover round his fate will hover till the blow is over and he sinks like me. Mm. I have no idea what that has to do with Miss Louise Olivia Hunter. And I'm not sure what she's supposed to represent in this poem, but it was cool. And it seems like people named Louise are often called Miss Louise.
Really?
Yeah, like, huh. I've never heard anyone just be Louise. They're always Miss Louise. But then I never hear anyone like Miss Emily. It's always just Emily.
I miss Emily. Sometimes.
Whoa. Okay. Congratulations, Emily. Yay.
So I have an interesting one. The title caught my eye. It's by County Cullen, and it's called A Song of Sour Grapes.
Ooh.
I really like the phrase sour grapes.
Sour grapes.
It's not used often enough.
I really like sour grapes.
And this one is super sour.
Oh.
Yeah, you'll see. I wish your body were in the grave, deep down as a grave may be, or rotting under the deepest wave that ever plowed the sea. I wish I never had seen your face or the sinuous curve of your mouth, dear as a straw to a man who drowns or rain to a land in drought. I would that your mother had never borne your father's seed to fruit, that meadows rats had gnawed his corn before it gathered root. See? Sour grapes.
That was a really sour poem. That was not nice, man. You
need
to chill out.
There's so many love poems. I kind of like having a little sour poem here and there.
Like, hey, man. Okay. I'm scared. That was good, though.
Yeah.
That was good. Well, Emily suggested that I read a poem, and she suggested well because this is a really good poem. I like it a lot.
It seems like an Antonia poem.
And it's by Emily Bronte.
Yeah, another Emily.
And you're Emily.
We love Emily's.
Emily Dickinson, Emily Bronte, Emily you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. So, Spellbound. The night is darkening round me. The wild winds coldly blow. But a tyrant spell has bound me, and I cannot go. The giant trees are bending, their bare boughs weighed with snow, and the storm is fast descending, and yet I cannot go. Clouds beyond clouds above me, wastes beyond wastes below, but nothing dear can move me, I will not, cannot go. That was a good poem.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
I don't know if I'd ever read her poems.
Yeah. The name sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
She's one of the Bronte sisters. So she wrote Wuthering Heights.
Oh.
That's her most famous one.
That's probably why it sounds
familiar.
Yeah.
And then there's Charlotte and Anne Bronte.
Ah, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's a really cute video where they are action figures and they team up to become the Brontesaurus. So it all ties back to the Brontesaurus poem.
Ah,
there you go.
Oh my gosh, it all came around.
Yes.
Whoa.
So I could read another one from W.S. Merwin. This one's called The New Song. For some time I thought there was time, and that there would always be time, for what I had a mind to do, and what I could imagine, going back to and finding it as I had found it the first time. But by this time I do not know what I thought, when I thought, back then. There is no time, yet it grows less. There is the sound of rain at night, arriving unknown in the leaves. Once without, before or after. Then I hear the thrush waking at daybreak, singing the new song. I liked that one.
It sounds kind of like the new song sounds like canoe song, which is a song that we're singing in chorus class.
Very nice.
So since it's spring, I think we have time, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lovely poem about spring.
Oh, that's nice.
It's by Edna St. Vincent Millay.
Oh, Edna.
That's a very, like, I don't know how to put it, like, name. It's like, I am Edna St. Vincent Millay. You must, like, yeah.
My understanding is that she went by St. Vincent or by Vincent.
Okay. I just imagine her in, like, a really long dress and, like, a corset and, like, curly hair up in a bun, like... That's just how I'm imagining her.
She was a bit more contemporary than that, but
okay.
But maybe she dressed up for fun.
No, she totally could, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Spring. To what purpose, April, do you return again? Beauty is not enough. You can no longer quiet me with the redness of little leaves opening stickily. I know what I know. The sun is hot on my neck as I observe the spikes of the crocus. The smell of the earth is good. It is apparent that there is no death, but what does that signify? Not only underground are the brains of men eaten by maggots. Life in itself is nothing, an empty cup, a flight of uncarpeted stairs. It is not enough that yearly down this hill, April comes like an idiot, babbling and strewing flowers.
Hmm.
Hmm. She's more of a fall type, I suppose.
I suppose. All right.
Okay. Very good.
Well, we should probably get ready to hand it over to the afternoon show.
Hey.
But we hope you enjoyed this half hour of poems.
Poems!
And
woo.
We'll be back next Monday at 3:30 for some updates on some of the fabulous books we've been reading and about the Children's Book Festival. And we hope you'll tune in on Friday from 4 to 6, where there'll be guest authors and illustrators from the festival in conversation with Hudson Talbot and other fine folks.
My last possibly name's Talbot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe my gosh. You're related. And
you should check out our blog.
Yes, you should.
We are boundbybooks.wordpress.com. And it's really cool. And you can listen to previous shows where we didn't even talk about poems.
It's true.
But you might find some poems on previous shows if you listen to a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also read reviews by Maddie and Garrett and Quinn, who are all people who have been on our show in the past and aren't here today, and we miss them so much. Hey, guys. Hey. But we hope they'll come back sometime so you can hear and read reviews from them. And it's just really fun, and it's purple.
It is kind of a purple theme.
It's purple themed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so stay tuned to the afternoon show.
Yay.
And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Happy reading.
Happy reading.